from the heart.
I shall surrender a little blood for the auspicious mosquitoes that can hear regularly Hare Katha and the holy names.
When we were preparing for the first Gaur Purnima in Navadvip, meaning with Westerners coming from all over the world,
okay, you know,
the first year with a major group of devotees coming, and
in Navadvip,
Chaitanya Saraswat Math.
Yes,
that's what I mean by first.
Okay,
I don't mean that one. I mean like, because we would trickle in, but this was our first, like, where it's going to be a substantial number.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know in advance when it's going to be. And Srila Govinda Maharaj was very, he was in anxiety because, you know, remember the original Paschatya Bhavan was Sevak Bhavan in the beginning, and, you know, later it became, and that was the first building, and he's just building these things, making more facilities because the Mat couldn't handle how much interest there was in Srila Guru Maharaj and connecting with him.
Mm-hmm.
And so it meant a mosquito problem, you know. And so Gurudev had ordered something like, you know, 100 or 200 mosquito nets. And they had not arrived. So he was like, it was getting down to the wire. People are going to start coming. And then one afternoon, we'd always have like informal talks with Srila Guru Maharaj, not heavy philosophical stuff, just what's the news, you know, and mail is being read to him and that kind of thing, generally. And I'm with Guru Maharaj, and then Govinda Maharaj comes upstairs and has this look of great relief. And he goes, the mosquito nets have arrived. And he said, now everyone will be happy. And then Guru Maharaj, he said, but the mosquito section, they will not be happy. So I thought, his vision is such, he even cares about them. We were talking earlier about how you can care for everyone. He's even thinking about them. Some great souls are like that. They actually care about all living beings. So not only would they not hurt an ant, right, but their activities are, thank you very much, their activities are such that they're all auspicious for all living beings. So even the animals, the insects, they all benefit from contact with such a saint. And we've seen there's instances, like we know the animals, they can detect if an earthquake is coming before human beings can. They feel things in the ground and stuff. And there was some great saint meditating in the mountains, you know, like yogi, and living without the world, drinking some coconut water every day. And the animals came and they started pushing him. Like, move. Like, they wanted to save him because they had some feelings for him. He was so kind to them and their well-wisher, and they knew danger was coming, so they started nudging him, and he's trying to figure out, what are they doing? They're telling me to move from this place. So We sometimes refer to Krishna consciousness as Krishna consciousness movement. And the word movement is significant beyond the obvious meanings. But one of those afternoons when I went to see Srila Guru Maharaj, and he's sitting in his chair, the so-called plantation chair, means it's these chairs that have big long arms and then you can pull out underneath, and I think people used to get massages in them, and that's why they have the giant thing. But it's called a plantation chair, I think, by nomenclature. And he would sit in that. In the morning, he'd sit looking towards Mayapur. In the afternoon, the other seat, looking towards his own deities. And when the Aratis would come, he would go and bow to them, say their holy names, and offer some prayers. But this one afternoon I came, and he's very happy and like tapping on his chair. And, you know, I was wondering, like, what is this about? And Guru Maharaj, he said to me, reality must be dancing. What do you say? And I'd never heard anyone speak like this. And then he was, because he could see a little look of bewilderment on my face. And he said, the ultimate reality must be dancing. What do you say? And I didn't know what to say. But he was really speaking rhetorically, not expecting me to answer, I don't think. But then he started explaining to me about Krishna and Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And he's saying, as we're told earlier, Krishna, the supreme masculine, the supreme male, Radha, the supreme female. He's called the absolute, sometimes the sweet absolute. And I like to call her the better half of the sweet absolute, if such a thing is possible. And it is. In Krishna conception, the impossible is possible. Endlessly. So she is the better half of the sweet absolute. And by her self-giving, self-sacrificing nature, she's charming Krishna. Like one of the girls, Mukhi, recently here was contributing so much to helping make the studio, and Chandrakanti and so many others, and Supriya, Susmita, Leelavati knows their name, Sulakshana knows. I've expressed my appreciation to each and every one of them. But Mukhi said, I mean, like, what does she want? Or, you know, she wants seva, but she said, also, I would like a picture of the deities for my altar. Is that okay if I make an altar that has a picture of, like, you know, Mahaprabhu? Because I said Mahaprabhu, Radha Govinda. Yeah, so, and she may have been thinking Vrindavan because she just been there, but I sent Guru Gauranga Gandharva Govinda Sundar from Navadip, Guru Maharaj's deities. And in this country, we always heard names like Radha Shama Sundar or Radha Londonishwara. That was a cool name. Radha Parashishwara. And Radha Gokulananda, usually like that. But Saraswati Thakur's deity is Gandharvika Giridhari. But Guru Maharaj's deity's name, Gandharva Govinda Sundar. And Radharani has many names, but her name Gandharva and Gandharvika is of particular interest. So when we would say, we're like, why is Guru, you know, his deity is, what does this name mean? Or, you know. Mm-hmm. And we would be told that Gandharva means a celestial singer, normally. Like gods and goddesses, the Gandharvas are the singers and dancers in the celestial world. But even the celestial world is part of the mundane world, and it's a shadow reflection of the spiritual reality. So in the spiritual reality, she's the best dancer and singer. She surpasses all others in her ability to mesmerize, hypnotize, charm with the most incredible singing and dancing. And it's shown in different ways. So we're told Gandharva is Radharani when she's singing and dancing to keep Krishna attracted. And in a sense, I don't want to use the word controlled, but like that, if there's another word that means that isn't that. But you get the idea. It's the way she's charming Krishna by this beautiful singing and dancing. So that's her position. Krishna is also known as Natabara, a great singer, dancer, flute player, the divine song that comes from his flute. So, and where is he? What's another dancing name of Krishna? Well, like Brindavana Natabara, that means actor, dancer, like that. But there's other names. So, we're told in the confidential spiritual literature, Brahma Sangita, that what is the, one of the characteristics of the spiritual world? Kataganam Natyagamanam, Priya Bangshi Priya Saki. That in the spiritual world, all speech is song and all movement is dance. It's that beautiful. All speech, everything that is said has a musical quality. Someone once called poetry musical thought, musical thinking. So it all is like poetry or song, and all movement is dance. Like we see the dancers, they have the different mudras for like listening and speaking and peacocks and all these, they're called mudras, gestures that they make to indicate certain things. The Jai, Jayananda Prabhu ki jai. Jayananda is my first disciple. Hare Krishna. Please take your seat. So that's the spiritual world, full of singing, dancing, celebration. So that's the nature of Radha and Krishna to begin with. Krishna is reality, the beautiful. He's inconceivably beautiful. It says in the book, Yang Shama Sundarama Chintya Guna Sarupam, has an inconceivably beautiful form. Form, but inconceivably beautiful. That means eyes, nose, everything, like we have. In fact, divine civilization is the template for human civilization. Humans based on the divine. And interestingly, in the Bible, which I rarely quote, it says, man is made in the image and likeness of God. Right? So then I pose the question, and woman? She made in the image and likeness of God or something else? Must also be. So even there's a hint that God really is together, the supreme male, supreme female. Our grand guru said predominating half, predominated half. But here, predomination is good. Like we see the parent with the child. It's sweet domination. Right? The children, they're dominating the parents. That's a good word for it, actually. But at a certain level, it's sweet. As they get older, not so sweet. But when they're really young, there's a certain sweetness there. They're demanding, and the parents have to. They're like the slaves of their children. But they're the happy, dancing slaves of their children. So anyway, in that world, there's Krishna, the dancer, Radharani dancing, singing, charming Krishna. But then we're told that Krishna, he seeing her, he's thinking like, how does she love me so much? Like, the depth of her love I cannot estimate, and I'm astonished. And it's been said, I am ecstasy personified, I'm happiness personified. But Rasa Raj is one of his names, the king of Rasa, divine love. And he's saying, but I think what she's experiencing is 10 million times greater than what I'm experiencing. That's what I can guess. I'm omniscient, but I can't fathom the depth of her love for me, what she experiences when she sees me. What the sound of my flute does to her, the sound of my name does to her. I'm astonished by observing her self-giving, self-sacrificing nature by which she's totally captured me and in that sense controlled me. So he begins to wonder. He's saying, that I can understand theoretically, but I'm in the position of the male enjoyer, but she's the female enjoyed. I'm the positive, she's the negative. I can only theoretically understand this. So what if I were to experience what she's experiencing? I would have to become her. Right? This is not described in any religion or spiritual tradition anywhere, ever. Only here. Think of that. He wants to know what it would be like to be her. She's celebrated as the greatest devotee. And he's wondering, what is that? What is it like to be a devotee? We think, you mean he's number one, and what, you know, what are we? You know, what's in it for me? What do we get? Oh, we get to worship him. Great. It doesn't sound too good, a proposition. But he's saying, in essence, the position of a devotee seems to be superior than being God. Unthinkable of unthinkable things. So then we're told, Ritva Madhuram Upabhoktam Kamapiya. He steals her heart. She won't give it easily. He takes her heart and he becomes enveloped in her heart. Heart means consciousness, your core consciousness, not the heart organ. That's not the heart. When we talk about heart, it has very little to do with the organ heart. We're talking about your core consciousness, where your deepest feelings of love and affection may reside. That he wants to experience. He becomes enveloped in her heart. Radha Bhava Dyuti Subalita Nomi Krishna Srupam. And that the radiance, he's normally of an inconceivably beautiful bluish, blackish color. She's golden. Her golden, the radiance of her heart turns him golden. And he becomes the golden avatar, Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So Krishna descends in this world, and then he's seeing what it's like to be a devotee, to take the name of Krishna and relish its sweetness. Guru Maharaj said, it's as if, you know, sugar or sweetness, not like everyone's mad after sugar and says, what's all the I want to taste it and see what it's like. No, but you are sugar. All right, well then put me in a position where I can taste sugar and see what you're all enjoying. It's something like that. He's saying, but what happens when he's tasting the sweetness of the name of Krishna, right? Form of Krishna, qualities of Krishna, pastimes of Krishna, it's driving him mad, but with some like divine happiness, divine madness happiness. And what that does, because he can't contain himself, the joy he's experiencing. And so Guru said, what is the outcome of ecstatic joy that you cannot contain? In fact, the original word ecstasy means to be besides yourself. So he can't contain the joy. And what happens? His arms go in the air and he begins madly dancing and singing, Krishna, Krishna. So Guru Maharaj said, so I say, the ultimate reality is dancing. What do you say? And I said, Maharaj, I now also say that. And I will never forget your telling me this, and I will say it. I'm going to tell everybody.
And you are.
As a service. Anyway, that's my introduction of Madhusudan Maharaj. Who just traveled all over the world preaching this, and now we're going to hear from him about his travels and any other thing he wants to say. He doesn't have to talk about that. He can talk about anything.
Well, Maharaj, I can first talk about Your Holiness. We are very happy to be here in Your association, Maharaj, and in the association of the many devotees. And I counted up, and we have actually, behind the camera, 53 devotees.
Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.
So we are very happy to be here with many devotees present. And always we remember the unassembled devotees. We know many devotees.
And the disassembled devotees.
And the disassembled devotees. We hope there aren't too many disassembled devotees. There are motorcycle accidents in Chiang Mai,
but unassembled.
Unassembled.
Some assembly required.
So, first of all, very happy to be here. And here means the association of the devotees and in this temple, which seems ever more glorious. I'm trying to think what is like physically different than when I was here last time by coming here. And there may actually be nothing physically different in one sense, but it just seems ever more glorious, like growingly glorious. And I'm not sure whether actually physically the tiles were here or not. This could be something, but coming here was more than I remember, and I remember very beautifully. And the time, the inauguration of the temple, etc. here.
Right, which you were here for.
Indeed, Maharaj.
And so didn't we have the tiles? But maybe they weren't grouted.
Anyhow. And, oh yes, here coming today, okay, an external impression again. My feelings are external, no doubt. But coming in the drive and coming to meet the devotees, then we see that the place is green. And last time I was here was before Gauropurnima.
So it hadn't rained in a long time.
It hadn't rained and it was very dry and practically no sign of like greenery at all. Right. And now all around the temple, tulsis are growing and I hear by themselves, she herself is taking over the area. And the impression is green when you come out from here. There's a, like a gentle green covering of the otherwise brown soil.
Yes.
And anyhow, coming here, first thing is to be with so many devotees, to have Srila Bhakti Sudhir Goswami Maharaj's association here, and to have the association of you all. And we know that all this is happening by the foresight and energy of Srila Bhakti Bimal Avadhut Maharaj. And we were collected at the airport by Shripad Paramananda Prabhu, and he himself is a very good like flagship representative of the devotee mood in the whole development of the Chiang Mai project. So it is wonderful to be here in this sense. And we are, it is true, traveling day by day by the request of the Vaishnavas and also keeping a check from inside with Gurudev and with Guru Maharaj. Is this what he's wanting that my seva is at this time? So we are traveling place by place, but not as a tourist, to come to the devotees and to fulfill their invitations and share whatever we can. And we were together in India with several of you from here and several from around the world. And we were together in India very recently. And then Srila Bhakti Bimal Avadhut Maharaj has a special kind of atlas globe. His atlas of the world is a little different than the rest of us. And he said, so where are you going after Delhi? I said, Maharaj, I'm going...
By the way, his world is not flat, it's a dome.
Oh, it's a dome. Well, it's even it's maybe an odd, a 3D dome, or a four-dimensional dome. Because I said, Maharaj, yes, after Delhi, Maharaj, I'm going to Chiang Mai, to Thailand. He said, oh, yes, okay. Then on your way to Chiang Mai, you first go to Kiev in Ukraine. It's on the way from Delhi. So you go to Ukraine. And then when I'm in Ukraine, he calls up and he says, oh, on the way from Ukraine to Thailand is Riga in Latvia. Right. So
it's a direct flight.
His map of the world is a little different from others. So, you know, very often when we come somewhere, people ask, oh, where have you been? You know, where have you come from?
Right.
I came from my mother and we came from an aeroplane. But this is where we've been recently. So ever since India, for those of us who were together in India, actually, I've been in the snow and really quite cold. And in the daytime also, we are going out and... okay, by Russian standard, not extremely cold, but minus 10 in the day is... little chilly after Vrindavan and here. So until today, this is the first time after India that we've been somewhere where we're with like just a regular cotton cloth and outside.
Right. He came in boots, but took them off and then, anyway, like snow boots.
I mean. Snow boots. And we've been hearing how the devotees from here who attended, how somehow, we can say every year something special happens, but this year, how like a very nice infusion in the heart of something special after the Kartik Parakramas in Vrindavan and visiting the holy places there with the devotees in our regular annual pilgrimage. But also, just now I came from Latvia. And in Latvia, as you know, this year, it's a small country, but 8 devotees came from Latvia.
To Vrindavan.
To Vrindavan for the Kartik program. And Maharaj, very specifically, yeah. It also when you were describing how people from here and the Chinese devotees who went back, they were very encouraged, but very specifically, I was feeling that this is exactly what the Latvians, they were saying, that yes, we've been before, but somehow this year it was special. So I don't know what the special thing was, but Krishna did something very special for all of us who went.
And yes.
It was a...
I agree.
A super program. You will have heard from Maharaj and from each other about the events that took place in Vrindavan and Govardhan Parakrama, your programs there. And some of us went on to Jayapur and to the Govindaji temple. And really, it was many years since I was there, literally 1985, which is like 33 years since I was there. And I was a little cautious about, you know, things do change and we have very happy memories of going to Jayapur, where Govindaji from Vrindavan, the deity that Rupa Goswami, he discovered being asked to do so as seva by Mahaprabhu to rediscover the lost places and the lost deities. But that deity now is very much the presiding deity of Jayapur. But the Mangal Aarti is 4:30 in the morning. And it was not a special day that we went. Okay, it was Kartik, agreed. But it was a weekday and it was a regular day. And literally, I mean, it must be 1,000 plus of people were there for Mangal Aarti and before Mangal Aarti. They're waiting and they're singing before the Mangal Aarti comes. It's not that, Mangal Aarti, and then there's like 10 people and then people come and join. They're coming in anticipation for the curtains opening. Wow. And this was a great inspiration. And they're there for Mangal Aarti and continue to be a mass of devotees for about 2 hours that we stayed there. From that time onwards. And after the Mangal Aarti, everyone is doing the parikrama 3 times or 4 times of the deities with a generously broad parikrama path, which is full of devotees. Yes. And then I was waiting. I thought, now many people going around. I'll wait a short while. Mm-hmm. Then after they've done their parikrama, then there'll be some space. But I'm waiting and it's not getting any less. And I'm thinking, how is this? How many times are they doing? Then I'm watching. They are doing parikrama. When they're finishing, they're going. And as fast as they go, more people are coming. And so a constant stream of the citizens of Jayapur are coming to start their day giving obeisances and respect to Govindaji there. And it's very inspirational to see that really Krishna consciousness, Govinda consciousness, and the temple is run by the Gaudiya Vaishnava devotees, that Mahaprabhu's teaching and message, that there are so many devotees in this world. We may not see it in general around the world, percentage-wise, but when we come to a place like Jayapur and we see that natural instinct in their heart, that natural tendency in their heart, it's a great inspiration. And sometimes when we are talking with devotees, we're giving a class, or Maharaj, I'm not sure I give classes. We chat with the devotees, talk with the devotees. And then I mentioned about Jayapur in Kiev, in fact, and I said, this was very inspiring to see so many people. But here in your temple, which was in Kiev, I said, here, your Mangal Aarti is not till 7 o'clock in the morning. There is 4:30, and you see how many people come from all over the city. So when it's 7 o'clock in the morning, then all the devotees in Kiev, they can come from different places and come. And generally we think, people here, they think, okay, that sounds good. But I was surprised, Maharaj. Next morning, there are actually a good number of devotees from Mangal Aarti who come through the snow. And I thought, yes. They also, like ourselves, like a bit inspired, some injection of that mood of, yes, we should come for the morning program. It is a natural thing. And Mahaprabhu in Chaitanya Charitamrita, so many times we see how he's going to see the arati of the Lord. And so Mahaprabhu is standing. Of course, we do not know what goes through his mind, what he is seeing, as we say. But also, Gurudev Srila Govinda Maharaj, especially in the earlier years, he would regularly be at the arati, the Mangal arati in the morning. He would come and we go to him before Mangal arati. That's the time when he wanted us to go to hear the letters, etc. But then he would come down and he'd be standing in front of the plinth of the temple or sometimes in the Nat Mandir. And Gurudev, so many times he's coming and watching the arati of the Lord, and then everything is finished. Then he's coming back to his quarters. But all of our predecessors, they are seeing something special and they're giving us a good example. They're giving us the example that we don't know really what is happening in... I don't know really what is happening in the transaction of the Mangal arati, etc. But it is most auspicious, and Mangal means auspicious. So it is very auspicious arati. So anyhow, we went to the Govindaji temple and Jayapur. You've probably already heard many stories amongst yourselves. And then went to Nath Dwar Maharaj, which in the West we generally call Natadwar. Oh, I'm going to Natadwar. But nobody there understands where Natadwar is. Where are you going? Nath Dwar. So it's very much Nath Dwar. We're going to Nath Dwar. And that was quite a different city in the sense of very small. But again, it's a Krishna-centered city. It's not a city, it's a town. Yeah. It's a town with small streets. It's almost an overgrown village. It is very much a town and a bit three-dimensional. We get a little exercise in Nath Dwar. And it's a town where everybody basically is a devotee. And I just saw your room or in Avadhut Maharaj's room, the deity picture of Srinathji in Avadhut Maharaj's room.
Yes. Yeah.
The picture of...
It's from Nath Dwar.
It's from Nath Dwar. And we were there, you can say by chance, but we were there for Diwali, with the festival of lights, and it was very colourful, and for also Govardhan Puja and Go Puja. And there we have been like witness to how the local people, with very much heart, celebrating the victory of light over dark, which is Diwali in essence, and then the Go Puja and the Govardhan Puja in a place where there are so many cows. And the Goshala, we were guessed and taken very nicely by, I believe, Maharaj, your disciple, Sri Naveen Krishna Prabhu.
Yeah.
Very wonderful Vaishnava host. He looked after us so nicely, and he took us to a Goshala of his very close relative or friend, and so clean, so nicely looked after. Every cow has got a name, and they call, this cow, they call the cow's name, and the cow comes all the way from over there, and they come. And because it was Go Puja and the worship of the cow and Govardhan Puja, they were decorating the cows. So while we were there, we are just witnesses, we're seeing what's taking place, and what are they doing? They're calling the cow to come. No, Jamuna. And then Jamuna, the cow, out of 200 cows maybe. Then Jamuna, she comes over. They give her some food. And while she's focused on eating, not with her hands, okay. While she's focused on eating, they're painting her horns. This way they're able to make the horns like colorful. And so they decorate the cows. And then on that Govardhan Puja day, then the cows are released into the streets of Nath Dwar. And it's their tradition. And surprisingly, the streets are not big. It's not like a city.
Yeah.
But in the evening, we are in the town, and we're actually staying in the town, very close to the center, by the grace of Naveen Krishna Prabhu. But in the evening, everything is as normal, but very colorful because it's that Diwali festival time. In the morning, there's this thick sand on all of the streets where the cows are going to be. Somehow in the night, they've come in and they've put sand everywhere so the cows don't slip. So it was actually like walking on a beach. It was really quite a surprise. So anyway, we went to Natwa, and again, another encouragement for seeing that devotional service, it's not a rare thing. For some people, it's so normal. It is just that that is the nature of the town, and it gives us a glimpse of this is how life should be. We should all be in the whole town Krishna-centered. So this is the system which we would like that the world will all follow, change from in the self-centered mentality to the Krishna-centered, and at least we remember Krishna as much as possible in our daily duties. So anyhow, step by step, then we've come here, and arriving actually yesterday and today. Yesterday I saw the sunset, Maharaj, from high in the sky, and I saw, and it took a long time for the sun to set from there, and you see how it's setting. And it really is very unusual is one word, but it's almost like a privileged position. Very rare that anybody would, any normal people like us, would have an opportunity to be looking down on earth during the sunset or any time like that, but over the clouds. It's quite unusual that we are able to take, to be able to do that. We take aeroplanes for granted, but it is an allowance of Mahaprabhu. It's an allowance of Nityananda so that his name can be taken everywhere. All of these things, even these electronic things we're using, we have to see. It's an amazing time. Even radio, just to tune in the radio, it was very late on, the 1930s perhaps, when that actually became, or people have a radio in the house. So from those days to the present day, then you see very fast leaps. So anyway, yesterday I saw the sun set and chanted my Gayatri in the plane, meditated on having bath and meditated on the things that we're meant to do first. But I did chant my Gayatri because it was, that is, you could see the junction of day and night. And then this morning, I saw the sun rise from the aeroplane. So it was also like an interesting thing that I saw the sun set and the sun rise. And our time and space reality in the year 2018, the present age, it's not what everyone has been used to in the previous time. And again, we can take all these things as reminders for us. We've got a few days in the world. We have to try to do something good for others during these few days that we have. So whatever opportunity has come, whatever opportunity is coming to anybody that we meet, when we're traveling on the train, traveling on the plane, anything, we want to try to see that, oh, we are meant to be here for a reason. And what other reason for us is we've come across a great treasure and we want to share that treasure with others. And with those who have already got an introduction, we want to encourage each other to keep our eye on the goal, to keep going forward, not to get distracted by everything of this material world. And by the way, flying into Bangkok, maybe all of you have flown into Bangkok, I don't know, but when flying in, one of the noticeable things for me this time was from the air, what is the, like, one of the clearest things you can see are these giant hoardings, the hoardings or billboards, they call it in America, the giant billboards. As the plane is coming lower, you see the buildings and things and the cars are still quite small, but you see these billboards and you can see the main road, the main highway or something, all along there. And you think, wow, so much lighting and electricity. And why are they doing this? They're pushing the material, you know, things that you never needed 200 years ago, that nobody had 200 years ago. They're making sure you know you need it today. They're convincing you. But we also have to keep ourselves a little aloof from that. We are all able to be manipulated, if you like, by the material energy, and it's very keen to manipulate us. But the great sages of the past and of the present, it's not only 5,000 years ago that there was Vyasadeva and that there were, Vyasadeva, they were there 5,000 years ago, but it's not only that there were great sages and souls 5,000 years ago. This quality, this heritage has come all the way to the present time. And Gurudev also very humbly would say, in the future, everybody will come to understand who Guru Maharaj was.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a grand pillar within our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya and will be known even more so in the future as such. It will become more clearly apparent to the world. So it is a very great fortune that we've got this opportunity to get income to our eyes, our ears, our thinking, our mouth through prasadam, through all the things that the material world is trying to draw us in different directions. We need to try to help each other to keep ourselves drawn by the advices, the descriptions, as Maharaj was saying, of Vrindavan, which are given in Brahma Sanhita and so many places, to remind ourselves of what it is that we are aspiring for and what it is that we're meant to be doing, which is sharing this with others. This is what Gauranga Mahaprabhu came to do, to share with others, to give to others. It's not our selfish thing. It is actually, we want to do for others. Maybe we will stay here, but others will be successful. Others will go home. This is very much the theme of Mahaprabhu's distribution. So we are trying to see what does Gurudev want, what does Guru Maharaj want, what does Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur want, etc. Outline, what are they trying to do? Then we are here, if we can help in some way, or if we are allowed to have some service to try to contribute to that, then it is all successful. So we are coming place to place and we are sharing what we may know, but we are sharing because others have got their experiences, others have got their leela and pastimes with the devotees and with our Gurudev Srila Govinda Maharaj when he travelled abroad. Then we are enlivened and enriched to meet the devotees who have particular first-hand pastimes with Gurudev that of course we didn't see. We are in Navadvip while Gurudev is in different places. And so everybody is sharing. And who is coming newly, why is anybody coming to chant Hare Krishna, to give that most valuable thing, their time, which is so valuable to everybody? Why are they coming? Everybody's got something inside which they can share with others. And when we are together, we are strong. And alone, then it is very difficult to keep our focus, to keep our ideal, to keep our momentum. So we are coming place to place to share, and in particular coming here, we are coming to a special home which is manifest in Thailand. It has come here, you can say automatically, but now we see by Giriraj affecting things. We see various changes over the last few months since we were here. And so we can think Giriraj is doing some special magic here too. And he's bringing lots of sweet devotees together now and day by day. I know that whenever, like every day here, whenever anyone will come here, there will always be association, there will always be a program and Harikatha taking place. And now we are just on the eve of some retreats and some special programs for devotees and visitors from around the world. So coming up to the traditional Christmas, New Year time, then an increase in the preaching activity perhaps over here, the distribution activity. And lots of friends here from China. And wherever we are from, this is our human life good opportunity to come home to a life of beauty, sweetness, charm, in the association of wonderful people. And as Guru Maharaj says, we will find when we understand more and more about our home, that it is full of wonderful people, wonderful associates, the best associates. So let's keep in good association now, and let us, with each other, continue to this wonderful place where we will find everybody is like you, wonderful people.
Hare Krishna.